What's up, everybody? You're listening to Conspiracy Theories and Unpopular Culture. I am your host, Isaac Weishaupt. Today is a special show we do once a month called the Monthly Microdose. This is for the month of February. We're going to recap some ideas that we previously talked about on the podcast. We're going to get into my personal world, shows I've been watching, shows I got planned for you for the future. We're going to talk about truth or drama in my world. We're going to cover the Super Bowl today. And this is kind of a behind-the-scenes show with a little extra information for the hardcores, right? I mean, we're going to talk about a lot of stuff. And then at the end of today's special episode, we're going to talk about the Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie on Netflix. Yes, get my hot take. I will actually rank all 9 Texas Chainsaw Massacre movies. Yes, I've seen them all. Oh, my goodness. And January, we did our first episode of this show, this format of this show, the Monthly Microdose, with the idea that I would have a micro show, a 15-minute show, where we recap the month and I address maybe some comments, some questions on previous shows I did for the month, like we'll do today. I've had lots of feedback about the Super Bowl that I want to go through, things you've told me, all right, on the social media. Now, the first show went much longer. I think it was like 30 minutes. And today, we're doing another hero dose. We're doing a macro dose. Because I think this one's going to be much longer than 15 minutes again. But trust you me, in March, we're bringing it back down to micro dose levels. 15 minutes. We're going to do this. You know, it turns out I like to hear myself talk. Turns out I like to ramble. And that's kind of the theme of this show. Because when I told you, months and months and months ago, I said, hey, leave a review on the Apple Podcast and I'll read it. Previously, I'd said I'm never reading them again because it's too hard on my gentle, sensitive heart. Well, you did, and I honored that, and I read through them. Lots of good comments, lots of funny ones, lots of great feedback, right? Unfortunately, there were a lot of negative comments, and I don't think it was you guys, the listeners. I think it was people who check out one episode and they're like, I hate this guy's an asshole, or whatever they think. And one recurring negative piece of feedback was that I do too much rambling housekeeping at the beginning of episodes. And I'm going to actually try to reel that in a little bit and dump all that housekeeping talk on the monthly microdose. So we're all happy with this. If you're one of the haters that's like, you do too much of you, Isaac, I don't want to hear your opinion. You know what? That's okay. You probably won't like these episodes of the monthly microdose then. Because that's what this is going to be geared toward. And I will try to keep the rest of the episodes more factual based. Deal? Do we have a deal? Yes, we do. Now, for the month of February. And like I said, we're going to talk about the month of February, right? Because it's now March. Thank goodness. February, I had some huge wins. I got to go on the man, the myth, the legend, Chris Jericho's show. Yes, Chris Jericho, the guy that unified the WCW and WWF championships, the wrestling legend, Chris Jericho. I got to do Talk as Jericho. That's my second appearance. We talked about aliens, and I can tell you, it's one of the biggest moments of this conspiracy-related occult symbolism career that I've got. It's a big deal to me. I love wrestling. I grew up in the 80s and 90s, obsessed with wrestling. The irony of this is that I stopped watching wrestling in the mid-90s-ish, right before Jericho got really, really, really big. That's the bummer of it all, right? So I didn't follow his entire career, but I stay abreast of wrestling to this day. I'm familiar with it, but you know, some people hit me up on socials and they want to go deep into it, and I'm like, look, I barely know who half the people are anymore. But I enjoy it when I watch it. Truth or drama. I do a whole show on Rockford called Inside the Mind of a Conspiracy Theorist, where we talk about truth or drama often. And in fact, this month in February, I did an episode on the Orthodox monk Father Tryphon, who got himself in a little bit of truth or drama, right? So for me, I don't know if you know this, I had a Vimeo. I got shut down from YouTube, right? You know that story. I moved over to Vimeo and put my videos there, and then they kicked me off last year, which is, Look, if you follow me, you know I'm not that sensational guy. I'm actually not a conspiracy theorist. That's the irony of the whole thing. I'm the worst truther that exists. I like to study some of these things. I like to hear the ideas. I have focused a lot on the religion of the occult and the symbolism and where it manifests in entertainment because I find that to be the most interesting. So the irony here is that I'm not a good conspiracy guy. I'm not even a conspiracy guy. It's barely my thing. But Vimeo shut me down anyway. And then they wouldn't even let me back in. I bought some videos of other, the Fall Brothers, F-A-U-L-L. They do some pretty interesting stuff. And I bought a couple of their videos and they wouldn't even let me log in. And after a week of kind of fighting with them, they finally let me back in. Like, they acted like it was a mistake. Like, oh, it accidentally, okay. I didn't tell the guy, like, look, you guys banned me from uploading videos last year. Do you remember that? I didn't say that. I just said, hey, I can't get logged in. What's going on? It says my account doesn't exist. And they wrote back. They finally wrote back, oh, sorry, I don't know what happened. I'm like, I know what happened. Let me watch my dumb movies now, please. What else? Oh, I stepped on a landmine. Because, again, I'm not a good truther. And apparently the whole truther movement has to think exactly the same. We're now an echo chamber of, I don't know, alt-right white supremacist ideologies or something. I shouldn't say that. But I'm stepping into landmine again. Why do I do this? I made a post on Twitter about the irony of conspiracy theorists defending Russia and Putin as if they're the innocent good guys in all this when they passed legislation a few years back where you're not allowed to talk bad about the government, which, look, in America, that's a pastime. We all talk bad about everyone, but you can't get in prison for it. But that's what they do in Russia. Prison's probably the best case scenario if you talk bad about their government. So truthers who want to pretend like they're not, they're Team Russia all of a sudden, and without going deep into this, because look, I'm not an expert on any of this stuff. I just know I'm Team America. You know what I mean? I'm Team Democracy and I'm Team America. I don't know anything about Ukraine. I don't know anything about Russia besides what I'm told and what I see. So I shouldn't have that strong of an opinion, but I find issue with one country invading another country and putting missiles through apartment buildings where civilians are living. I find a problem with that. And I said that, and I'm getting roasted for it. So I deleted Twitter off my phone. I'm done with it. Not to say I'm off Twitter. I'm just going to use it to sort of post links every now and then. But I was obsessed with it in an unhealthy manner of constantly looking at it. And truth or drama, I tell you, I don't know what to think of it all. You know, and I say there's been a sort of infiltration of the alt-right. This goes back, I interviewed Professor Ben Teitelbaum 2 years ago. Listen to that interview. He talks about the occult connections to this alt-right movement. I'm not talking about conservatives. I'm not talking about grandpa who voted for Trump. I'm not talking about him. I'm talking about high-profile elites that are connected to a lot of this weird stuff. And again, geopolitics is not my thing. I don't even dig into it. But Ben Teitelbaum did, and a lot of the stuff that he was talking about seems to be happening. And it's terrifying in some ways. When they talk about the Kali Yuga and the final age of man, and we talk about how traditionalism is embraced by some of these folks, Alexander Dugin, Steve Bannon, Rene Guénon, Julius Evola, look those names up. And you'll see that this is a real problem. And it's curious to me that you saw a lot of these alt-right sort of figures making the rounds on some conspiracy podcast. Like Roger Stone all of a sudden just shows up on the conspiracy circuit. That guy's got tons of money. He doesn't have time for this. But he does because he knows that he can use the truther movement to an advantage, I think. I don't know that, right? How do I know the answer to all this? I just know that when I started in this truther realm, we were open to anything and everything. And when I start getting shouted down and called names and stuff for floating ideas, that's when I say, okay, something's wrong. Something happened here. And I think there's disinformation agents all over Twitter. And the news is, there's studies that prove this. There's a lot of disinformation on Twitter. A lot of Russian troll bots on there. Anyway, boy, oh boy, truth or dramaville right now, not good. So I have to take a healthy step away from Twitter because I see stuff and I get mad and then I make hasty posts. And then all this, I got this, you know, I was in the military, right? So like I've got a little bit of that military brainwashing in me and I'm very patriotic at times. I mean, say what you want about our leaders and our government and what they do, but I'm Team America. Like, if you don't like what we do in America, you can complain about it. You have the freedom to do that. That's a beautiful thing, and I embrace that. You can't do that in Russia. That's all I'm saying. If you think they've got it better, there's like this weird evangelical thing, too. If you look at the 700 Club, what's that dude? They raised him from the dead to come out and talk. There's a weird evangelical angle to this, too. I mean, I think this goes deep, right? That's why I don't have a show on it, because this is a deep subject. It's more than just like a simple tweet, right? But they want to reduce it to that. I think there's a lot of things happening with this event. I wish I knew the truth. I don't know what to tell you. Anyhow, moving along. Jeez. Microdose. Keep it short. Social media. Cynthia on Patreon sent me down this rabbit hole on Axel Vervoort. And he had a post about, and I quote, "In all chaos, there is a cosmos. In all disorder, a secret order." Right? And he references Carl Jung. And I think that secret order is the order of the quest. Bill Cooper's ideas about who the Illuminati really is. But yeah, he's connected to all the things of Marina Abramovic and the pizza stuff. I didn't do a show on it, but there's a lot there. It was kind of weird. Charlie XCX, she has a new video where she's hanging out with this druid priest and the devil, and there's this pond of red blood. I posted that on the Instagram. Also made a post about cryptos on Instagram. Tons of comments. I wanted your feedback on cryptos. What do you think? And hundreds of comments, I think. One that stood out, my man Phil Goodrich, he pointed out that an idea about the Great Reset, which I found very curious. He said, "You will own nothing and you will be happy," right? We've heard that quote a million times from Klaus Schwab and his buddies about the Great Reset and the new world, the future world they want to create. Well, cryptos fits that very well. You actually own nothing. I mean, the US dollar and the currency and the cash is similar because at this point we do a lot of stuff electronically, but there can be cash. Whereas the cryptos, you technically don't own anything, which is very interesting. Interesting thought. Then Angry Anderson asked about the circle's significance on the Archive 81. I did the two Archive 81 shows, right? Well, the circle is the sun, right? In symbology and symbolism. And the occultists always have this solar worship thing. They worship the hidden sun. Sirius, the blazing star of Freemasonry. That's what that means in the show. Now, on Twitter, before I deleted it off my phone, because I'm a snowflake, blah, blah. I asked you on Twitter, I said, what are the best albums of all time? Now, I was kind of leading people on, because what I was doing was I was actually looking for some new music. And I listened to several of the suggestions before, so I didn't re-listen to them. Like, you know, the Beatles, Led Zeppelin, 3-6 Mafia. And I got a lot of different new albums I'd never heard before. And my conclusion was that there's lots of weirdos out there listening to this show. So shout out my weirdos. But I listened to several of them. Here's my 30-second breakdown of all of them. Jellyfish, not my thing. Snot, not my thing. John 9, I thought that was great. I dig the Jamaican music. I'm like, what's that? Chet Hanks, right? I like the Jamaican music. The Cure, Disintegration. Great album. Great album. Great call. Definitely one of the greatest albums of all time, I think. It's very moody. But man, I mean, could they add any more instrumentals? The instrumentals go on and on, but it works. It works. Loved it. Bullet for My Valentine, The Poison. I loved that album. I thought that was cool. Stevie Wonder, too funky for me. Joan Osborne, too farmer's market for me. Mezzanine Massive Attack. It was cool. I never heard of it before. It was electronic. A little too chill for what I'm looking for. Good, like, pull side music, right? Turbo Knight. Turbo Knight's like electronic stuff. And the guy said he'd jump in a volcano if I didn't like it. And I did like it. I thought it was great. Alex Stein made a guest appearance on the feed. He's a big celebrity now. Shout out Alex Stein. He suggested 1989 by Taylor Swift. A joke, I'm sure. Which one was the best out of all of them? Well, I mean, lots of them already knew about. Led Zeppelin, AC/DC, Pink Floyd, Beatles, Limp Bizkit, Dookie. All those, you know, Green Day, Dookie. I think I put them all together there. But out of the ones I didn't know, I would say The Cure's Disintegration was my favorite. Bullet for My Valentine was the second. And AFI was number three. Now, I've been watching a fair amount of TV and movies. And let's see what... obviously, I saw the new Texas Chainsaw. We'll talk about that in a second. There's a trailer for Jordan Peele's new Alien movie called Nope. That looks great. That's going to be good. Kanye's Genius, a three-part documentary on Netflix. I saw part one. I'm going to watch part two right now. Some shows I've been watching. Love is Blind on Netflix. Yes. Real Housewives of Salt Lake. Yes, you didn't know I was a basic bitch, but here I am. Raised by Wolves season two, which is already kind of boring. I don't know. I'm only two episodes in, and I'm already thinking about tapping out. Yellow Jackets on Showtime. Phenomenal movie. Or show, I should say. Phenomenal show. I love it. Highly recommend Yellow Jackets. There's actually an occult angle in there, I think. We'll see. I'll wait till I watch the whole thing. Don't spoil it for me. Now, the podcast. We did several shows in February. We did Free Guy, the movie. We did the Joe Rogan conspiracy with MH370 and Pfizer and Blackstone and Freescale and the Rothschilds. We did a Super Bowl symbolism show where we talked a general idea about the ritual magic behind the Super Bowl halftime show. Then we did the Super Bowl 2022 show, and this is where we're going to talk about, and I'm going to try to keep this short if I can. Lots of feedback, not much good, all right? Because what happened was, here's what happened. I watched the Super Bowl, watched the halftime show, and I didn't see much. I didn't really see much on there. And you know me, not a good truther. I don't want to go out on a limb too hard, because then you kind of discredit yourself. So I kind of said, I did a show, and I talked a little bit about what could have been there, and I was like, I don't know. And I thought, afterwards, I thought, you know, maybe I wasn't being paranoid enough, because people sent me other videos and ideas. There was one YouTube analysis where, I forget the guy's name, he does very similar work to me. And it kind of shocked me because he had so many subscribers. I was like, how did I get canned 5 years ago? And this guy's still going. That talks about the same thing. But he talked about this grid system being the nine districts of Yale. I thought that was interesting, right? Like, maybe. Or, like, that's how the West Coast is. West Coast, everything's laid out in squares and grids. It's not like the East Coast. I've lived on both coasts. Not a bad idea. Someone questioned my love of hip hop because I said I didn't think it was that good of a show, like entertaining wise. It's like, look, I grew up with all that stuff. The Chronic blew my mind. The first time I heard The Chronic on cassette tape, it blew my mind. I was like, dude, this is great. And I had been a fan of hip hop before that, like Daz FX, and there's a couple other bands. I used to like Fresh Prince, the Fat Boys, you know? Like, I grew up on hip hop. But because I thought it was kind of a boring halftime show, people questioned if I was really a hip-hop guy. And I was like, yeah, I am. And I stay current with hip-hop. And that was a stale, boring-ass show. They played their biggest songs, which It's like that Blackstreet song, which I think has Dr. Dre on it too, by the way. No Diggity. Sure, it was a cool song in the 90s. If I hear it one more time, I'm going to scratch my ears off. I just can't take it. That's how most of the songs they played, like there's no... They're good songs. I'm not taking anything away from it. It just wasn't exciting to me, right? In fact, I don't even listen to Eminem's albums anymore. When they drop, I'll listen to it one time through and see if there's any real, and he's great. Don't get me wrong. It's kind of outdated music. I stay more current. It's just not my cup of tea anymore. But some old guys like me, old 90s guys, like they can't break out of it. They just listen to the same stuff over and over again. Still get excited listening to Chronic 2001 or whatever. Eminem, keep it moving, Isaac. Eminem, interesting. He used the 8 Mile song. I can't think of what it's called. Anyway, you know what I'm talking about, the 8 Mile song, and it talks about moving towards a new world order, which I didn't even catch. I was like, oh, of course, that's what he says. It's right there in the lyrics, duh. So I missed that. That could have been of usage to discuss, right? Some people are like, well, Eminem popped out of a cube. It's like, not really. I mean, kind of, right? I hesitate to look like the crazy Q kind of guy, because that's who's embraced a lot of some of this extreme fringy ideas. But then on the same hand, I relook at it and I thought, yeah, but I'm also not pointing out the stuff that I should be. So my fault, my bad. I'm going to strap more tinfoil on my hat next year. I'm not going to drop the ball again. Some people said the set looked like FEMA trailers. Kind of. Yeah. I mean, I could see that. 50 Cent, everyone was like, oh my God, he's the Hanged Man of the Tarot, which maybe, I mean, it could be. He did come out upside down. I thought my take on the As Above, So Below was a little bit better, because you see Dre and Snoop standing upright and they point down, and then reversed is 50. But here's the thing, 50 Cent, and maybe a lot of people aren't old enough to remember this, but his first video was Into Club. And that's how it starts out. Dude was shredded, right? Hanging upside down. So immediately when I saw that, that's what it reminded me of. I was like, oh, okay, it's a homage to In the Club. Christina on the Patreon said maybe it was a signal to dropping any kind of East Coast, West Coast beef. Not a bad idea. But I think 50 Cent was on there because he's pals with Dre and M. They're basically the ones that put him on. Last thing, the Star of Ishtar, the 8-pointed star of the goddess. I actually took the screenshot of this and thought it, but I didn't post it because I thought it looked more like a 6-pointed star, which I believe I even said that on the show. But I do think I could have embraced that a little bit more, because the whole Janet nipple with the 8-pointed star, right, that we talked about so many times. So in conclusion, next year on the Super Bowl, I'm going to pull out more of the elements that I saw. I'm going to look a little harder. I could have been more paranoid, right? I could have been more paranoid. I think I was disappointed that there wasn't more to it, given the commercial for Super Bowl had the Freemasonic chessboard playing of the black and white, which was a theme of the show. I mean, I said there was going to be Saturnian elements, and there were definitely like cube elements on there. So in some ways, I dismissed my own self and didn't beef up some of my own ideas about what we would see. Now, speaking of commercials, let's talk about the commercials. A lot of people said, hey, what about all those commercials? And I watched, I think, all of them. Let's briefly go through it. Kia, they got an electric car with a robo dog that falls in love with it. Bit of transhumanism. Seth Rogen with the Lays, he marries a ghoul. That's kind of occultism, right? Again, these are all a stretch. Doritos has a sloth with the Push It song. Nothing there. Matthew McConaughey playing the role of Interstellar, which, of course, a movie I've talked about many times. He talks about how it's not time to escape Earth and go to Mars. It's time to plant trees, which I support. Let's take care of Mother Earth, right? But he digs against Metaverse and Elon Musk. Which, shout out for that, right? You know I'm anti-nerd. But the curiosity was it. The commercial was for Salesforce, which had nothing to do with any of that. Next, Nissan had a Eugene Levy and what's that wrestler's name? Baptista. Baptista's got the all-seeing eye tattoo on his chest. The guy from Curb Your Enthusiasm, I don't remember his name, he goes through history, and he suggested nobody went to the moon. I thought that was interesting. Now, that's for a crypto app. There was a Pringles commercial. There was a crypto stocks app called eToro, which Toro is the bull, a Moloch, right? But the bull is, in fact, on Wall Street. I've been there. I've seen it myself. That was actually kind of an interesting idea of trading ideas on social media for investing. Arnold Schwarzenegger plays the role of the of Zeus. He's got electric BMW. Salma Hayek plays his consort there. Budweiser horses getting nursed back to health. Very intense. In fact, do you know that men drinking the alcohol, they want to make it seem like a very manly thing to do in our country. Has an estrogenic effect on your body. That's why when you drink too much, you get the beer gut. You get soft tits and a soft gut, which is not manly, quote unquote. There is no such thing as a man. Gender is a construct. You're not manly enough. Well, manly according to which definition? The beer ads make you want to think that you got to drink tons of beers every day. But the reality is, if you do that, you just get soft. And that violates the other rules of being a man. I don't know. What do I know? There was a Lay's Pepsi Tostitos Brondo Energy Drink Mega Conglomerate commercial with Peyton Manning, who's trying to compete with Shaq to be the most endorsements ever. And honestly, is there anything more painful than watching an athlete act? Is there anything worse? It's the absolute worst. Give me a... I can't think of his freaking name. Who's the good-looking dude? I can't think of it, but give me a Brad Pitt commercial any day of the week. These Peyton Manning commercials are just painful to watch. And the irony is that it culminates with them singing Good For You, which is what none of this junk food is. All of it's junk food. It's all crap. And I'm not saying you can't enjoy it. You just got to keep it in moderation. Then Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost did one for old Bezos, Alexa, reading their mind. Yes, that's what they want. This is a lot of transhumanism stuff. In fact, Scarlett does a scene where she covers one eye. She's the one-eyed goat. She's the one-eyed Baphomet. Recall the, we talked about 9/11 and My Pet Goat and all that. And Colin even points out, he says, I love the one eye. It's all there. Kevin Hart uses the Sam's Club app to scan products to avoid the line. I thought that was actually kind of a great idea. I wish Costco would do that. Disney Plus had a commercial called All the Goats. More Baphomet stuff, right? If you look at it from that perspective. One of them even has the Wonder Woman with the eight-pointed Star of Ishtar. There's the goddess symbolism again. Lindsay Lohan, Planet Fitness. Lizzo singing for Google Pixel Phone with a real tone filter for darker complexion skin. Planters had Joel McHale and Ken Jeong, that dude from Hangover, right? With the micro penis. The monthly micro penis show. Maybe that's what we should call this. Trying to stoke a debate over eating mixed nuts versus cherry picking. Mikhail says, who would have thought America would be so split over a difference of opinion, which I thought was very funny. The Sopranos kids driving the Chevy SUVs. That was kind of an interesting commercial. No, again, no symbolism, though. Zendaya for Squarespace. Meta did a Chuck E. Cheese-like band for MetaQuest commercial, right? There's a restaurant, the Chuck E. Cheese restaurant breaking down and all the animatronic animals being shuffled around and abused. Makes you feel real sad for them, right? They even crushed the son of a bitch in a garbage truck. Completely unnecessary. But then, you know, these animatronic animals, these rejects, they put on the MetaQuest Oculus goggles, the VR goggles. And now they're in the metaverse. Life's great. People are watching them perform again. Probably the creepiest commercial, honestly. It's implying that when things get bad here, old Zucchini Burger's got the metaverse waiting for you where life can be great again. Very terrifying stuff. That was probably the most Illuminate confirmed commercial, honestly. Foo Fighters had a concert in the metaverse, by the way, which was totally a flop. They really be doing the most for the elites, don't they, the Foo Fighters? Miller Lite Metaverse starts out with UFOs abducting somebody. They talk about this is where the aliens exist in the metaverse, which is very curious, right? That's what I wrote the two books on, Use Your Illusion 1 and 2. Where do the UFOs exist? Is it in the mind? Very interesting. Now, all right, so that's the Super Bowl. Let's move it along. Archive 81, Part 1 and 2. Sir Tim on the Patreon said maybe there's a connection between Kylego, the alien, and Kali Yuga, the end times. Very interesting. I like that. My Kanye Donda 2 bonus show. Everyone says I don't know how to pronounce Donda. I guess I could have listened to track one of Donda 1 and where they repeat it for 5 minutes as if that's a great song. Donda. Is it Donda or Donda? Donda. I think it's Donda. Anyway, everyone corrected me when Kanye was calling Pete Davidson Skeet. Like Skeet Davidson, I guess. It's his attempt of being Donald Trump, as if that's something to aspire to as a mature adult. And I get it now. Everyone says it's Skeet like male bodily fluids. And I'm like, oh, of course. Just like that Lil Jon song, right? Jimmy on Patreon pointed it out. But I got blasted everywhere for not realizing. Yes. All right, I got you. Hey, everybody, it's Isaac. I am adding some more information to the show after the fact because I am stupid. And it turns out I forgot to tell you that I had two bonus shows I also did. I had a bonus show for the supporters on Kanye West and the symbolism of Donda 2, the album and the concert, which that one's really good. That one's fire. Then on for the March bonus episode, we finally dropped the Animatrix, where we talk about the destruction of primordial matter and the metaverse as depicted in the prequel anime series for the Matrix. So there you go. I forgot. We had two more shows to talk about, and there they are. And you know where you can get the bonus shows, on the supporter feeds. You can go to patreon.com/IlluminatiWatcher or go to IlluminatiWatcher.com, hit the VIP tab up top, and it'll tell you all about the three different support platforms. You choose which one you like the most. You get free books with Patreon and the VIP. Check it out if you'd like to support the show and go ad-free. You'll get bonus episodes. That's now the third. We got three bonus episodes this year. We got one on Julia Fox and the spirit cooking she's been doing, Kanye West and Donda 2 with the symbolism of that, and the Animatrix, which I've been promising you for a long time. So thank you for your support if you're already on there. I'll hit you on the other side. Yeah, and that's it. That's it for all the shows, for all the roundup and ideas. Some shows I'm working on right now for you, Elon Musk and Grimes. Very crazy stuff I got to point out. That one's going to be a banger. That one should be next. Barring any crazy things happening. And one last thing before we get into Texas Chainsaw. Some shout out to the supporters. I got some big whales I want to point out. KG on Rockfin sent me a $50 tip. Jeez, thank you. I don't know where, you know, Rockfin just sends me the notification. I don't know which post it's left on, so I can't leave a comment. I have no idea where it's left. But thank you for that generous tip. And thank you to all the supporters. If you're on a supporter feed, thank you. Even if you're on the free feed, I appreciate you listening. You know, I've got the tier 3 and 4. Those are like monthly commitments of high levels of support. And I used to do the shout outs and I'm not doing that anymore. Right. Cause you guys all agreed you don't like that and that's fine. But Jason, Barry, Cheryl, Josh, John, Cheryl, again, Kara, Taylor, Jade, Jennifer, Izzy, and Angie. Thank you for being, top tier supporters. I appreciate you. And even if you buy the stuff on Gumroad, Connor bought both my alien books on Gumroad. So shout out. Lots of people bought shirts, which I got more coming, by the way. I got two new designs coming. You're going to love them. The one might be the most appropriately timed shirt ever. You'll see what I'm saying. Stay subscribed to my Instagram so you can see me model them. Did I just do shout outs? No. But I appreciate all the support, but like those high levels of support, like you deserve a little extra 2 cents of gratitude. Finally, we're going to wrap it up with Texas Chainsaw Massacre. And I know if you're watching the video, if you're a video person watching I'm on the app Letterboxd. Now, if you don't know what that is, it's an app where it's just like social media meets movies kind of. Anyways, I created an account, Isaac Weisop, all one word, check it out. And I'm still learning how to use it. But I've got my ranking of the Texas Chainsaw movies on there right now. And I'm going to go down through the list. We'll start with the worst one and work our way up. Because everyone's talking about the new Netflix one, and we're going to talk about it too. Number 9. Wait a minute. I think I got notes. Hang on. Let me pull up my notes here. Yeah, here we go. Here we go. Number 9 is... What the hell? Where's my... Okay. Texas Chainsaw 3D. I feel like that was the worst one. Is that what I got on here? Sorry, I'm trying to read the little tiny screen here on my little tiny phone in my little tiny hand. Texas Chainsaw 3D. I hated it. You know what? No. I'm sorry. I've got two different rank. Oh, boy, this is embarrassing. Okay, I got to fix the ranking on the Letterboxd. Okay, let me go to my notes. Number 9, Texas Chainsaw 3, Leatherface. This is the one with Viggo Mortensen. Turns out Leatherface is not a great villain. It's his family, which we all know if we watch the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre, which we all know and love, of course. So Leatherface, which is Texas Chainsaw 3, was the worst one, I think. The number 8, the second worst movie, Leatherface from 2017, again. Terrible. They show him as a kid. They put him in the Gorman house, which has a big Freemasonic G on it, which I found curious. And it has like these Michael Myers vibes. Not good. But if you're looking for an origin story of Leatherface, there's a better one on the list. So hang on. Number 7, Texas Chainsaw 3D. Too focused on the kids. And when they throw Trey Songz on it, I'm like, oh boy, this is going to be a stinker. You know what I mean? Anytime you see like the R&B guy on there, you're like, oh boy. Or like Halloween when Busta Rhymes shows up, it's like, oh boy, this thing jumped the shark, didn't it? I mean, the irony is I love horror movies. I love hip hop. Don't put them together though. It's like when they make a funny horror movie. I like comedy movies. I like horror movies. Don't mix them. What are you doing? You serve two masters with that and you ruin it. But number 7, Texas Chainsaw 3D. It had a very 80s storyline, but it was made in like the 2010s. They tried to make Leatherface a slasher. It probably is the most gory one of the bunch. It's very gory. They're saying it's probably the goriest. But it has this whole bloodline angle. It's way different from the other films. It doesn't have the vibe of the folk horror, creepy family element. And the biggest bummer is Bill Moseley is touted on the bill, but he's in the film for like 10 seconds. I'm like, crap. What it does have, some good-looking people in there, for men and women. It has the girl from Goliath, the hot chick from Goliath. Oh, boy. Anyway, you get the point. Number 6, moving on. The new Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Yes, I thought the new one was better than those last three duds. And I'm a little confused as to what they... I'm not going to spoil any plots. A little confused as to what they were going to do in Harlow, Texas. It doesn't matter. I think if... A lot of people say this is the worst one by far. And I thought, wait till you find out there's like... 8 more movies you got to watch. In this one, Leatherface is really brutal. He's fairly intelligent. The kids are annoying as always, but they're supposed to be. A lot of people are like, oh, it has those stupid like Gen Z social justice warriors. And it's like, yeah, that's the point. You get to watch them get slaughtered. Isn't it great? You know? but... there's one scene where there's some brutal kills in this. On the one, I'm not giving anything away, but like on the one, Leatherface grabs the dude, snaps his arm bone in half, then shoves that bone into his own neck. It's brutal. It's almost too much. There's one scene where the girl, she stabs Leatherface with a corkscrew, like a wine corkscrew. Like that's going to do anything. Like, bro, he's wearing someone's entire face. You ain't doing nothing with that corkscrew. You know what I mean? But yeah, the let's see here. But yeah, I'm let's see. I'm down for some of their ideas in the film. Yeah. Anyways, there's more chainsaw. I don't want to give anything away. That's why I'm kind of reading through. It's like, what do I want to talk about? I don't want to give anything away. But it's got more chainsaw deaths than I think any of the other films. And the ending I thought was great. I thought it was like an A-plus ending. And in fact, there's something after the credits. Stick around for after the credits, which you may or may not be excited about what you see. Moving along. Number 5. Texas Chainsaw 4, which I think is called The New Beginning. Let me look it up here. The Next Generation, sorry. This was in the early 90s, I believe. Matthew McConaughey's in it, and he crushes it. You know what? I love Matthew McConaughey. He's probably my number 3. Number 1's Leo. Number 2's Tom Cruise. Number 3's probably Matthew McConaughey. He's great. He kills it in this movie. But it doesn't feel like a Texas Chainsaw movie. That's one recurring theme, is every sequel, it doesn't feel like the original. I don't know how they do it. But it's very curious, because in number 4, in Texas Chainsaw Next Generation, there's an Illuminati group. If you'll notice, and I'll put the image on my Instagram, Isaac Weishaupt, like and subscribe. He hops out of the Illuminati trucking tow truck company. And we find out that there's these elites that show up. We don't really get any information, though. It was very vague as to what the role is, but you get the implication that Matthew McConaughey is supposed to torture these people for the Illuminati. Like human hunting, like Hostel, before Hostel came out. Crazy, huh? But I thought this was a great movie. Even Matthew McConaughey's got this crazy leg robotic contraption that he has to control with a remote. It's a trip. It's like Blue Velvet when Dennis Hopper had the oxygen mask. Like, you don't really know what the heck's going on with it. It's just creepy. So I thought that one was great. Number 4, Texas Chainsaw The Beginning. Now, this is kind of an origin story, right? This is what I said. There's a better origin story for Leatherface than the other two. But this is a prequel, kind of. This was 2006, I think. Anyway, that's all I got to say about it. Number 3, the 2003 remake. Probably the greatest remake ever done in a horror movie, I would say. Maybe. I could be wrong. Just spitballing here. This is the Jessica Biel Texas Chainsaw. And we all know, someone said that on one of my social medias there. Yeah, the Jessica Biel one. Yes, we all know what we mean when we say the Jessica Biel one, right? Okay. But obviously, anyways, besides Jessica Biel in the whole thing, very distracting. The movie was A+. I thought it had Arlie Ermey, the guy from the drill instructor from Full Metal Jacket, in there, and he did great. He stole the show. What can I say? This was a perfect remake. They balanced homages to the original with updates to the new. I thought it was fantastic. That's all I got to say. Number 2. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, number 2, right? And I thought this might be number 3, kind of tied with the 2003 remake. Because to be honest, if you forced me to watch one of these two movies right now, I would probably watch the remake over Texas Chainsaw 2, because Texas Chainsaw 2 kind of sucks. But the imagery was great. Chop Top, played by Bill Moseley, is a classic. Dennis Hopper's in it again, right? But there's way too much humor. And that was Toby Hoover's vision, apparently, was that he thought there should be more humor in the first one, which is crazy, right? So he's like, I'm going to put it in the second one. And I don't like it. Don't give me any humor with my horror, all right? I don't need any catharsis. Just give it to me, all right? But the sets are what make this one stand out. This one's amazing. Had the most direct Freudian scene of the chainsaw being the phallus, a theme you don't really see in any of the other films. And Chop Top, right? Bill Moseley, one of the greatest horror movie actors of all time, in all the Rob Zombie movies and a lot of the Chainsaw movies. Then, of course, Number one, the OG, so great, so perfect, inspired by Ed Gein, which was the creepiest killer ever, I think. In fact, when me and Mrs. Weishaupt went to Las Vegas, we went to the Zach Bagans Museum. We talked about this on Breaking Social Norms on the Las Vegas episode, which might only be on our Patreon. I don't remember. But anyway, we went into the Ed Gein room, and Josie accidentally touched the glass case around the Ed Gein pot that he used to melt people's faces and bones in and stuff. Oy, oy, oy. But the best scene is when creepy grandpa comes out and he's trying to smash the girl's head with a hammer. The whole family, the house, the scenery, completely horrifying. It's dirty, it's grimy, you can feel it when you're watching it. It even has a bit of Saturnian talk at the beginning. And apparently the making of the film was horrific too. There's a documentary about it. But yeah, that's it. That's the Texas Chainsaw. Every film, you know, every film ranked. You get the iconic door slam in a lot of them. But the original one's the only one to do it effectively. There's always a drop a body on a meat hook thing. They even change the name of the family throughout most of these films. I don't really get that. Anyway, yeah. And in fact, if you like Rob Zombie, House of a Thousand Corpses and The Devil's Rejects, you can see the influence of the Texas Chainsaw movies in those films. So if you like Texas Chainsaw Massacres, you would love Rob Zombie. It's even got Bill Moseley in it, Chop Top, from the sequel. Oy vey, there we go. So 45 minutes, far from a microdose. You got a macrodose this month. And stay tuned to the show. Stay subscribed. We're going to talk about Elon Musk and Grimes real soon, and it's going to blow your mind. So stay subscribed to the show. Thank you for your support. Thank you for listening. Till next time, stay woke.